let's keep talking. So today is another special episode. I'm talking with Aili, who is an Estonian-American who has lived in Estonia for almost 10 years. She's going to have her anniversary next year, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And she's currently living in the forest in south of Estonia. And we're going to hear more about how did she ended up there and what's her story. So hi, Aili.
Hi. So where do you want me to begin?
You grew up in the United States, but now you're living in Estonia. So what happened and how did you end up here?
So I was born and raised in Baltimore, in Maryland, as an Estonian-American, as mentioned, growing up in the Estonian expat community, based largely at the time on displaced persons, on refugees from Estonia that date back to the 1940s, World War II, and so on. So I was born and raised second-generation Estonian in Baltimore, as mentioned, and that meant that I grew up going to Estonian school on Sundays instead of Sunday school, learning history, geography, grammar, the works. I grew up doing boat dancing, singing in choirs, doing Estonian Girl Guides instead of Girl Scouts of America, spending a lot of time traveling between New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, D.C., Toronto, to do Estonian things. Basically, 5 days a week I was American, 2 days a week I was Estonian, plus at home, like a mix of both. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as I started getting older, around the same time, the Estonian community in Baltimore started, I wouldn't say fading away or falling apart, but it wasn't quite as strong as it used to be. A combination of different factors. People marrying more non-Estonians, which isn't a problem unto itself, but it means more conflicting interests in terms of time and families being able to commit to Estonian things. Kids not necessarily learning the language as well, et cetera, et cetera. The older generation dying, literally, getting older and dying. People moving further apart, people moving away from the bigger East Coast cities where these Estonian communities are mostly based. And I realized that, hey, it's getting pretty hard to live this lifestyle that I honestly love. I was at a point where during a single week I would be traveling between Baltimore, where I lived, D.C., where I sang in a choir, Philadelphia, where I was a nanny for an Estonian or Esto family, New Jersey doing Girl Guide stuff, New York folk dancing, and then every now and then, when possible, visiting Toronto and visiting Estonians there. Mm-hmm. And I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I realized that on my trips to Toronto, I saw that, wow, they can just live their lives like normal people. They can do Estonian stuff every evening and go to work every day, and they don't have to like live this very polarized lifestyle. They don't have to commit so hardcore to, you know, traveling hours and hours just to go to a 2-hour folk dance practice. And I wanted to be part of that. And the other factor there was also that more young Estonians there were involved. There were more to begin with. The Toronto Estonian community in the Greater Toronto metro area is much bigger. It's, I think, the biggest community outside of Estonia and, I guess, Helsinki. And young people my age, people that still spoke Estonian, I was like, wow, I could even get an Estonian boyfriend who speaks Estonian. Whoa, that would be amazing. It always kind of sounded very stupid and shallow of me, but I mean, it, obviously there's more to it than language. There's language, values, again, the lifestyle you grow up with, it all, you know, counts. Unfortunately, I realized very quickly that it's not so easy to just get up and move to Canada. Everyone always threatens, yeah, if the wrong person gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. They're not that eager to take American citizens. You need a visa. That means you need to get into a university or get a good job, and they need to sponsor you. And at that point, I was accepted to 2 colleges in the Toronto area to learn medical office administration, which is a subject that you don't even need in Estonia because of the healthcare system being different. And unfortunately, it turns out that just going to a college isn't enough for the federal student loan system in the United States. So I would have had to pay for everything myself, which was completely prohibitive in cost. at that point, it was around 2011 when it turned out that this Canada thing wasn't going to work out. At that point, I had actually already won a few scholarships meant or that were geared toward young Estonian Americans to either go to school in Estonia or study whatever they were studying in the U.S. As fate would have it, the male choir of the fraternity, the Estonian fraternity that my father was the chapter president of in the U.S., their Tartu choir, their Tartu and Tallinn choir, came and did a concert series in North America, and I ended up meeting them. And within like 10 minutes of meeting some of these young people my own age that were from Tartu, they were like, why do you want to go to Canada? Just come to Estonia. You're so like into this Estonian stuff. You're clearly so Estonian. Why are you going to Canada? Just come home. And at that point, I was still like, no, I'm going to Canada. I've already got everything worked out, and I've got the place I'm going to live and everything. It's all worked out. I've been waiting for this for years. Mm-hmm. And over that summer, it turned out, as I mentioned, legally and financially, it wasn't that easy. So I shifted gears. It was unfortunately too late to apply for University of Tartu that fall. Started writing some very long emails saying, look, I have scholarship money. I don't care what language I learn. I don't care what I study. Just please let me in. I need to come to ASD. And I cannot wait until next fall because I'm like having a crisis. And long story short, then I moved in January 2012. And while my university career ended up taking several twists and turns, I ended up staying in Estonia, in Tartu, initially for mm-hmm. very, very many years. And here I am, almost 10 years later.
There you are, in the middle of a forest, living in an old farmhouse, I guess.
Farmhouse, yep.
But before that, you also lived in Narva, which is the most eastern city in Estonia, next to the border of Russia. So U.S. is such a big country, so it's quite normal that there are so many contrasts and every state is different. But is there such differences in Estonia? And how would you compare those cities and experiences living in different places?
One major difference, I would say, again, based on my experience, because in the U.S. I really only lived and traveled around the Northeast, which is a lot more homogenous in a certain sense. Obviously, the major cities all have lots of cultures represented, but the general everything is English languaged and so on and so forth. English languaged, uh-huh. In the English language. One major difference that jumps out at me, of course, in Estonia is that Narva, as mentioned, is on the Russian border, and it's predominantly, I think, like 98% Russian speaking. And so that alone already is a huge difference, speak nothing of cultural differences. But one interesting thing in turn that I learned very quickly when I moved to Narva is that the rest of Estonia, especially in Tallinn, especially politicians, they like to talk about Ida-Viru County, which is the county that Narva is in. It's the mm-hmm. northeasternmost county in Estonia, which is also largely Russian-speaking in the other cities as well, Kohtla-Järve, Sillamäe, Jõhvi. And they talk about Ida-Viru this and Ida-Viru that, and they have special programs for Ida-Viru County and linguistic programs and cultural immersion programs and all kinds of special things and special policies. And then in Narva, people in Narva go, well, there's Narva mm-hmm. and then there's the rest of Eesti. Like the average person in Narva doesn't feel any kinship towards somebody living in Kohtla-Järve. Because they see, whereas Estonian speakers might look at it and say, but you're all Russian speakers in that corner of Estonia. But then Narva says, well, yeah, just because he's Russian speaking doesn't mean that we have anything in common. You know, there's not an automatic mm-hmm. sense of kinship. In Narva, there's a very fierce Narva identity. And then it's like, to them, the rest of Estonia begins after Narva. Maybe, okay, to a certain extent, you'll have, you know, Jõhvi and Sillamäe and Kohtla-Järve. And then you're really in Estonia. But it's not so automatic that, they're all Russian speaking, so they all must know each other and they all think the same way and they all act the same way. They don't. There's just as many different types of people as there are in the rest of Estonia or really anywhere else. It's very hard to generalize.
You mentioned also like that in Tartu, one of the things that pulled you in or you were really active in was the sorority. And I know you because of the sorority, but what is the sorority system in Estonia the same as in the US and in other countries, or being a sorority member, how does it look like in Estonia?
So right off the bat, they're completely different systems. In the US, it's called the Greek system or the Greek letter system, and I'm afraid I'm going to end up saying something wrong because I'm not that well-versed in it, actually. Everyone here always asks me about it, but I've seen Animal House just like everyone else has. I've never actually been to a frat party or anything in the US, as odd as that might sound. There are actually similarities. I did an interview with the daughter, the Estonian-American daughter of an Estonian-American member of my sorority living in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the mother, who's my own mother's age and actually her friend, she joined my sorority in New York and was also active in the Toronto chapter and now lives on the West Coast. Her daughter doesn't have the option to join because there isn't an active chapter on the West Coast anymore. There used to be way back. So she ended up joining a Greek letter sorority at her university. And I did an interview with her to learn more about the Greek sorority system and her experiences with it. And I realized that there were actually things in common. So, for example, in the Greek system, you have a system of bigs and littles. So big sister, little sister, or big brother, little brother. And then in turn, then you have, I understand you have like great bigs, grand bigs, and so on. So it's like a system of like older and older and older, and younger and younger and younger. In Estonia, then you have a system of mothers and daughters, or then in the fraternities, you have fathers and sons. And it also goes back, actually, it can go back and forward several generations. So in my sorority, for example, right now, I have daughters, granddaughters, great granddaughters, great great granddaughters. And for being still an active member of my sorority, that's quite a few generations all in one. I guess some major differences would be the fact that the system here in Estonia is actually based on an old Baltic German system. And you can find similar fraternity and sorority systems, for example, in Latvia, Poland, Germany, vaguely similar ones in Lithuania, and I understand Austria, I think Switzerland. The systems in Finland and Sweden are a little bit different. They're based on the region of origin of your family. Whereas in Estonia, you choose based on, you can end up going into the same sorority or fraternity as your sibling, but you choose based on what seems like a good fit for you and your values and where they think you're a good fit for them, which actually is a little bit more similar to the American system. One difference in turn is that in the American system, the sorority, for example, there'll be like a national, like the actual whole sorority, but then each university will have its own chapter. Whereas in Estonia, the chapters, if there are chapters in several cities, usually it'll be Tartu and Tallinn, then the chapters will be based on the city. So, for example, in my sorority in Tartu accepts students from several different universities. So you can have people, you end up meeting people from different universities as well and different majors and stuff, which is actually very cool. What else is different? Here, I understand in the US, the Greek system also, they stress that it's for life. But I understand that once you finish your bachelor's degree, mm-hmm. you switch to alumna status and become much less active, so to speak. Whereas in Estonia, I'm one of very many examples of people who either finish their degree or don't finish their degree and just continue being active in the active chapter, which includes holding different offices, for example, foreign secretary or president or treasurer and things like that. Another difference on the practical mm-hmm. level is we don't live in our sorority houses. We do have different houses or apartments, so to speak. In Tallinn and Tartu usually, some have them in both, and you are able to sleep there usually. Well, again, depends on your sorority, but for example, in mine, there's a bedroom and there's fold out couches and things like that, but nobody lives there permanently. Whereas I understand sororities in the US, usually if they have a house, they have people actually living there physically. So when I talk about hanging out at my sorority house, I don't mean actually living there. I mean just visiting there or going there for meetings or events or something.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, there are so many differences and some similarities as well. In the same sense, what are some of the differences or similarities that you like about Estonia, or what do you appreciate about Estonia?
To put it very shortly, I discussed this at more length in Estonian, but I would say one of the biggest boons to living here, honestly, are a lot of the social programs, a lot of the work-related, childcare-related, education-related, healthcare-related things. To put it briefly, it's not quite universal healthcare in Estonia, but it's socialized healthcare. Vacation days, you have a federal minimum of 28 paid vacation days a year. That means that when you go to the table at a job interview, you don't have to negotiate vacation days. You automatically get at least 28. Depending on your job and how long you've been there, you can get even more. Higher education is free as long as you're full-time. Parental leave after giving birth is measured in years rather than weeks or even days or non-existent. And it permeates the culture here. People take it for granted that, of course, if you have a child, you're going to be at home with them. Of course, if you go to university, then the only job you need is to pay for, I guess, an apartment or for food, not to actually pay for your education. Of course, you can take vacation days from work. How else would you, you know, spend a week out in the woods with your family or take 2 weeks and go backpacking across Western Europe or do whatever you want or do nothing, sit at home and do nothing for 2 weeks. Of course, if you injure yourself or get COVID or have a baby, then you don't have to worry about medical bills bankrupting you. The wages here aren't necessarily, they are not anywhere near what they are in the US, but I don't have to worry about these very basic life issues. I never have to worry about, can I afford to call 911? I never have to worry about, well, what happens if there's a complication during childbirth? I never have to worry about how will I pay for university if I decide to go back and finish my degree. That's not even an issue. And the freedom that brings is mm-hmm. incredible. It's just such a weight off your shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having lived also in the US, I can totally appreciate those same things, like healthcare mm-hmm. being like so automatic here and such a nice, like, nobody doubts that you should have it and so on. Mm-hmm. Different things.
The other thing I remembered, I realized people take for granted here, is how much stuff is done online and digitally.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, from what I understand, the US is finally getting around to contactless payments and even chips and pins with their cards. Meaning their bank cards and credit cards, finally getting around to online payments of different kinds. People are using Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, whatever. Whereas in Estonia, it's always been the case where if you split a cab home with a friend from a party, they say, hey, Facebook message me your bank account number, and they send it to you, and it's there literally like before you're able to close your app. Stuff like applying for my daughter's passport. We did everything online in Estonia. And whereas when we go to apply for her U.S. passport, we have to go, all three of us in person, her father, me, and the child, have to go in person to the embassy in Tallinn on the other side of the country. Mm-hmm. We have to bring along all kinds of paperwork that has to be translated into English and notarized mm-hmm. and proof of this and proof of that. Whereas in Estonia, everything was digital. Everything was online. Everything is centralized records. It's such a relief not having to deal with that stuff here. And it's so annoying when you do have to deal with it, when you're dealing with bureaucratic issues with the US, for example.
Yeah, well, another thing that I wanted to ask, you grew up with speaking Estonian and you say it's your first language as well, but do you have any tips for others who want to learn Estonian or some resources that they can use to learn more about the Estonian culture or about things to do in Estonia?
So I did, grow up speaking Estonian, so I never had to learn it as such, and not on the basis of English, for example. So it is a little difficult to give advice on that level, but based on what I've seen other people recommend to their friends or their spouses or their children, because it's a very popular topic, I see it in Facebook groups all the time. There's different language apps. I understand Geleglik is one that's very popular. I think there's one called Speakly. There's a few others, and some I understand are Estonian-based, and some are more multilingual apps that have an Estonian option. I can't speak actually to which mm-hmm. ones are better or worse or which is more accurate, but these are all names that I've heard mentioned. But for those that aren't interested in apps, or if you just want to, for example, passively even just get used to listening to more Estonian, nowadays you can find entire movies on YouTube. You can honestly, even just watching them with subtitles, you'll at least be hearing language. It'll help confirm what you do know and kind of tie it to the subtitles that helped you confirm that, okay, this is what they said. You'll get used to hearing the syntax and the grammar and the vocabulary and the manners of speech. And music as well. I mentioned in Estonian as well that, for example, Estonian Public Broadcasting, or ERR, has an entire platform called Jupiter, where they have tons of archives. So because they're the public broadcaster, they have like years and years and years worth of material, movies, videos, interviews, TV shows, concerts, the works, for all different types of tastes, all different genres. All of this is available online. Most of it should not be geo-blocked, so you should be able to access it anywhere online. It's free. You can also listen live, for example, to a bunch of different stations. Vikerraadio, Klassikaraadio, and Radio Kax are all Estonian public broadcasting radio stations, which in turn are kind of like a mix radio station, a classical station, and then an alternative station. We listen to them every day, and it provides a ton of variety. Again, not just music, but also, the DJ speaking in between. They have news reports also in between, so you not only get to hear about what's going on in Estonia, which also, I believe, helps kind of cement what you're learning linguistically, but then you also just hear the language. If you have any Estonian reading skills at all, for those of you who've been learning to read, reading anything at all, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook posts, whether it's comics, whether it's Reddit, reading anything at all in Estonian is better than not reading Estonian. And if your Estonian isn't that good, don't worry about it. The more you read, the better it'll get. And if it's really, really, if you're worried that, okay, you can't read more than children's books, you know what? Read the children's books. Because even that will help improve your language. Honest to God. I learn new things all the time. And I grew up speaking the language. And I'm learning every day. And now that I have a child, I have an 8-month-old child, I am learning even more vocabulary. Stuff that I didn't realize that I didn't know how to say in Estonian. And on that note, don't be afraid to ask. Whether it's your mother or your grandfather who speaks Estonian, or your neighbor, or your girlfriend, or your best friend, or your guildmates on World of Warcraft, or whoever it is, don't be afraid to ask. Because Estonians, yes, they might have people might consider them as being, yes, cold and closed off and so on, and I'll easily describe them the same way, but it's this magic thing that happens that when you ask them, then they're suddenly so amazed. And wow, you're interested in Estonian? Wow, you speak Estonian? Wow, that was pretty good. Wow, you're... the accent was great. Even if it wasn't that great, they'll tell you that your accent was great. and take advantage of that. It's an opportunity for both sides to learn at that point, but never be afraid to say, like, oh, my Estonian's not that good. If you're arguing in Estonian that your Estonian isn't that good, then your Estonian's pretty good.
That's a good point. Oh. Okay, it was so nice talking to you in English as well. And we did had a full conversation in Estonian that you can listen, and where you can hear Aili's story in depth. And for now, thanks for being here. And for all of the listeners, find Found in Estonia on our Facebook, Instagram, and on foundinestonia.ee, and join the email newsletter list, where there's an email every month where I update you on whose episodes have been published and what you can listen to and what we are up to. So until next time, bye.
Bye.